What's up, Who Dat Nation, and welcome to the Dome Patrol United Saints Podcast.
What's up, Who Dat Nation, and welcome to the Dome Patrol Podcast United Network. I'm your host, Jeff, and there's no drinking today. There was a little bit of drinking yesterday during the game. While the Saints beat the Bears more handily than the scoreboard showed, and possibly even more so than it felt like while watching the first half. We're going to discuss that game. We're going to discuss the other playoff games from the slightly larger than normal wildcard weekend. I refuse to call it super. We'll catch up on pick'ems and then preview the matchup number 3 against the Tampa Bay Bradyneers. So put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What is your number?
No number today. I just finished up work, and I'll have to do a little work after the show. So no drinking today. Only had a little bit last night,
All right. What else we got? Let me go across the top of the screen here. We got Scott. Welcome to the show. What's your number?
No number for me as well. It's kind of afternoon right now, so...
What?
Just finishing up some work, but good win yesterday. Glad we got through.
All right. I'm looking at my nighttime sky. It looks pretty dark over the dome. James, welcome to the show. What's your number? Uh-oh, I think James froze on us.
That's it.
Dun, dun, dun. All right, Ash, what's your name? What's your number?
What's my name? My name's Ash, and my number is zero, my friend. Bit of a late night for us at 1 a.m. The game finished, so I'm back on your orange soda again.
It's a Dome Patrol classic. Dome Patrol tradition. James, you're back with us. What's your number?
It is a zero. I'm not drinking after yesterday. Playoff Jack Daniels made an appearance yesterday.
That's right.
And that never goes well.
That's right. All right, and then we got Devin is watching. He says Bears offense El Soco, right on from the booby bear, Soco. Devin's having a seizure while he types. MVP Mitsubishi Mitch. I think that's the Nickelodeon MVP. Oh, we're gonna talk about that. T Rex Henderson, good to go Sunday. All right, slow, calm down with it. You know, Devin is just getting all the questions out early. Make sure that we talk about him. It looks like Ben was able to join us. Ben, welcome to the show. What's your number?
Zero.
Oh, wow.
Well, was he on speed?
Yep. That sounds like Ben is also having trouble from the UK. It might be a UK thing. Maybe Brexit didn't work out after all.
He's the only one that's having issues. Me and James are fine, so don't fucking pin this on us.
Well, that's because you didn't vote for Brexit.
Oh, did I?
All right, we're going to see if James and Ben can get their audio issues fixed up. In the meantime, let's get started talking about the playoff game against the Bears in the game recap. Let's talk about the first half, and then we'll talk about the second half.
First half sucked. All right, let's talk about the second half.
Move along.
The offense was struggling to get started, but I think it was an issue of just the fact that these guys hadn't played more than 10 quarters together. And like even Drew Brees said, they had some nuances they had to work out, some rhythm, some timing issues.
Yeah, I definitely think the first half was definitely working a little rust off. We hoped that they would make adjustments at halftime, which they seemed to do. So that was good. You know, defensively, we were awesome the whole game, not just in the first half, but also in the second half. I mean, when you think about it, I mean, we only gave up 3 points, technically. I mean, we technically gave up 9, but that last touchdown was garbage time. The 3 points we gave up, 2 was because of a turnover, you know, that they got a short field. So other than that, defense was awesome.
Yeah, they were. What about the Taysom Hill fumbleception?
The play was there. He was open. Actually, had 2 receivers open. He had Harris, and I think the other one was maybe Troutman.
Yeah.
He just didn't pull the trigger on it soon enough. Like, he held the ball too long. He's double, triple clutching. I don't know if he thinks he's a shortstop and just can keep clutching as long as he wants to, but you got to get rid of the damn ball. He's not anticipating the receivers.
He's awful at the anticipation on throws, which you need to do in the NFL. you can't be late. The windows are so tight.
Especially in this offense, which is a timing-based offense, right? I mean, the plays are – that's really what makes Drew Brees so – you know, an added impact of Drew Brees. He just knows where to put the ball at all times because he's 15 years in the offense.
And if you look at that play, I mean, he had – the line gave him, like, almost 4 seconds to throw. Like, you can't – you know, it's the NFL defenses. They're going to get you. You got to get rid of the ball.
And granted, it was Hurst who let up the I mean, there, did you see the replay? He was all spinning around looking for his guy. He's like, where'd he go? And the guy kind of got around him. I mean, not really a knock on Hurst if you're saying that he had 4 seconds to throw the ball. But
no, and the other thing was, I mean, Harris is so fast, Taysom would have had to throw like a 70-yard bomb, so I can guarantee you it would have been underthrown.
Oh, yeah, good point.
We kind of talked about that on the Instant Reaction show. Like, when they showed at one angle from behind the line of scrimmage from the offensive side, and Harris was so far down the field, there's no way he would be able to reach him. Unless he let it go early. Even if he let it go early, Harris would have had to slow down and come back to it, which it could have ended up being a pick. You know, he had the man beat, but he needs to just get rid of the ball sooner.
He was facing the wrong way. If Taysom Hill would have thrown that ball on the first, because he did the, on the first pump, he would have had him in stride, and he wouldn't have caught him. It would have been a touchdown.
Jeez.
And that just, you know, that really would have broken the game wide open.
Deontay Harris played on 24 snaps total. He was targeted 7 times. He caught all 7 of those balls. He was the leading receiver in the game. I'm not sure, Scott, do you have the stats up? How many yards he actually had?
83 yards.
83 yards, more than Michael Thomas, I believe.
73.
Yep. And his yards after the catch. I mean, a lot of his yards came after the catch, which I think was like in the 50s or something. Yeah. I think, to me, Deontay Harris was the difference maker in this game.
Oh, definitely.
Impact player of the game.
Definitely. You know, he... like you said, he was getting open. You know, it's on the broadcast, they kind of talked about it too. They were doubling Thomas, and so it kind of left Harris open. I don't know about Sanders, if he was getting doubled too, or they just were paying extra attention. They basically forgot Harris was there, and so he was. And I think their cornerback was a rookie or is one of his first games playing, because they had some injuries in their secondary. So that's who was covering Harris. So that's who they were going to pick on anyway. It seemed like it was definitely something I saw in film, a game design, that they were going to target Harris a lot in this game.
But it's a good headache to have, you know, for you know, defensive coordinators going, you know, further on into the playoffs, because you don't know whether you're going to double cover, you know, Michael Thomas, whether it's going to be Sanders, whether it's going to be Alvin Kamara, and now you've got Deontay Harris as well. So, you know, any defensive coordinator going up against us now, they're like, holy shit, what are we going to double cover? Because if you Michael Thomas will beat you one on one, the same as Sanders can beat you one on one, and now you've got the likes of, you know, Harris thrown into the mix as well, and oh, it's fucking great.
And then we saw Callaway that didn't even get any play in time, really. You know,
and you got Cook when he can make the catch. It's cool. We actually have weapons again.
Yeah,
I feel like it's been so long.
Did you all feel like going through the game that we weren't as effective running the ball? We kept running it with Kamara up the middle, and then lo and behold, you turn around and look at the box score. He had 99 yards. Now, granted, most of that had to have come in the third and fourth quarter, right?
I would think, and I think you kind of talked about it in the chat, Jeff, that they kept trying to run the ball up the middle, but it seemed like when they got further in the game, they were turning it more outside and getting Kamara in space, and he was able to have more success doing that instead of keep running it up the middle.
Was it a chess move then? Run it up the middle on purpose so that then every time he comes in later in the game, they're going to say, oh, he's coming up the middle, let's stack the box, and nope, whoop.
Maybe, or it could have been just an adjustment they made later on in the game. He averaged 4.3 yards a carry.
It had to be an adjustment. They just
the strength of the Bears' defense. Yeah.
Oh no! You go ahead.
He's in the middle.
I was gonna say the strength of the Bears' defense is the interior. So you know, I think your point there of running it up the middle to then open it up for the outside runs later in the game. Probably is.
And look, he's so dangerous that, you know, you have to jam that middle.
Jamming.
So you have to respect when he gets the ball. So it also opens the play action pass up a little bit more too.
I mean, it was just tough because, you know, Rui still has some issues, and it did seem like, yeah, the Bears push up the middle. I mean, it seemed like they were getting in the backfield a lot on runs. But, you know, one good thing that you know, maybe kind of helped at the end of the game was the overall, just the time of possession advantage that the Saints have to be able to wear down the Bears defense at the end of the game. That's something I think we kind of mentioned it a little, but not really. Not just the overall time of possession difference last night.
Yeah, that ended up being really a huge stat. Time of possession, we had the ball for 38 minutes and 58 seconds. They had it for 21:02. It really didn't even seem like they had the ball for 20 minutes, you know, the Bears, because we just, especially that drive going from the third quarter to the fourth quarter was, what, like 9 minutes long.
It was our longest drive of the season.
Yeah. And I think, hold on, they had a, let's see, I had a stat. So just three drives for the Saints in the second half of the game.
It did not feel like that. I mean, I guess.
There were three drives. There was one for 729, the second one was 851, and the third one was 519.
And didn't the Bears go three and out in between the first and second drives?
Yeah, they had the ball for 7 minutes in the second half. The Bears did.
But what's those first two drives time total?
The first one was 729. The second was 851.
So 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. So for 15 minutes, with the exception, 16 minutes, with the exception, an entire quarter.
Quarter, yeah.
Because the Bears went three and out. The Saints literally kept the defense on the field.
Yep. And then those two drives, the first two drives ended in a touchdown for both drives. So, you know, you think too about the running game, it could also have been that they had been on the field for so damn long that they were just tired. It allowed Kamara to kind of get in there and run the ball more.
Saw how important time of possession was in the Chiefs game. The Chiefs dominated time of possession. So,
yeah.
Talk about Latavius Murray's play where he did the little dive block, his touchdown play. Yeah. Dive block, got up, told Breeze, give it to me.
Yeah, and that was Khalil Mack. He was blocking, which, you know, isn't an easy block to take on. You know, he basically, you say it was a dive block. It was more like, I'm going to get in front of you and get knocked to the ground kind of block.
No!
You know, and this to get back up, and I think I read that Breeze had four reads on that play, and Murray was not one of them.
Right.
So, you know, for him to get back up and have the wherewithal, and just a great play by Breeze. It was almost, if you watch the replay, it almost did like a jump hook.
Yeah.
Like a sky hook, you know, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar kind of thing. And
he only got credit for like a, what, 6 yard touchdown. But if you look at it, they were about 15 yards back. Yeah, so Murray got the ball at like the 13 or 14 yard line, and he still had to like navigate his way into the end zone. So that, I'm gonna give him credit for a 15 yard touchdown pass right there.
It was a really, really great one, and you gotta love just the awareness. And that's the second time he's done that. You know, he had that one in the Chiefs game, just ended play, broken play, all of a sudden, oh, here I am, here, give it to me. Oh shit, I'm gonna run for a 30 yard touchdown.
Yep.
And I can't emphasize enough how well the defense played. Like, if we win the Super Bowl, it will be because of the defense. In the game with the Bears, we allowed 9 points, 239 total yards. That is the fewest allowed by a Saints team in any playoff game in team history.
On both of those lines.
On both of those, score and total yards.
Yep.
So that's just amazing. You know, the D-line, Trubisky gets out of the pocket very easily, and they do a lot of bootlegs. We kind of talked about that on the instant reaction, a lot of bootlegs. So it was hard to really get to him. It was almost like, we're going to take away your run game, we're going to make Trubisky beat us. You know, and he, you know, he's not going to. That's, you know,
right.
We have.
He did have some good throws, though, I will say.
I mean, he had some good throws, but.
He put the ball on the money a couple of those deep passes. Especially the one that Wims missed, that Marcus Williams did hit his annual playoff guffaw.
The problem with Wims was he was thinking about, is CD Deuce by me? You know, is he talking to me right now?
Oh, did y'all talk about that last night? CD Deuce getting
a little bit.
So I mean, what was the, so they said unsportsmanlike on both of them. Why did he get unsportsmanlike? Are we now penalizing people for saying things?
That's what you say. If you say certain words, they will throw a penalty flag. They've come out and said that. If you say certain words, particularly a racist word, I don't know.
I love it. I don't ever want him to not be a Saint, though. Could you imagine if he were playing for another team and Michael Thomas?
My favorite player. I
know. He really is.
Michael Thomas will punch him for sure.
He has punched him.
Yes, yeah. We'll punch him again and again and again and again.
Right. So apparently the stream is not doing well on the old Facebook.
Uh-oh.
Well, that's what one person said. And, you know, they signed Blair Walsh today to the practice squad. They say it's, you know, just in case a COVID test comes back positive, so they have a backup, but they didn't do that the rest of the year, so I don't know why all of a sudden it's a priority. I guess maybe because it's the playoffs, but that's what they said. So
is this Peyton's last attempt to get in his head by kind of giving him a bit of pretend competition to see if that breaks him out of the funk?
I don't know. I hope so. I don't know what his deal is.
But on the one side, it's not just Lutz that's been having kicking issues, you know, this season. A lot of kickers on a lot of teams have had issues this year. You know, I understand, you know, Lutz is obviously dropped in form and there's something in his head that he's not, you know, it's not connecting. But, you know, in his defense, a lot of other kickers have had issues this year. So, you know, maybe, you know, I don't know, fucking COVID with a K, you know, they're sitting all the kickers, I don't know, but...
Did he say COVID with a K?
He did say COVID.
COVID with a K.
Is that the kicker COVID?
Well, look, it's clearly the fact that, you know, the Saints can't win a Super Bowl without a kicker struggling at the end of the season. And look, he'll get it right when it matters.
I hope so.
That's what I'm saying. The motherfucker.
Right? Yeah.
Hey.
Which, I mean, it does seem like a lot of teams are doing anyway. Some work out, some don't, but a lot of teams are definitely trending that way.
I mean, if you notice at the beginning of the game, we passed up a 56-yard possible field goal, you know, try.
On a 4th-and-3, wasn't it?
We got the first, but I'm just saying, like, you know, normally I think if Lutz is on, we kick the field goal.
You know, maybe with our newfound ability to draw teams off sides, this is part of our plan.
Yeah. We were doing that a lot yesterday, and no crowd noise. It's like I don't.
Dude,
understand.
The Bears were. And it might be something they saw in the Bears that they were jumpy, and disciplined. Because yeah, it happened a lot.
Somehow, even CD was in their heads.
I tell you, because didn't they even jump on a special teams play?
They did, but they called a penalty on us. But I think it should have been.
Yeah,
on
them. It was bad. Really got called for it. Oh, yeah. Speaking of Anzalone, again, another great game from him. I tell you what, I like what I'm seeing out of him these last couple of weeks.
He's playing for his job, basically.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
good.
You know,
well, keep
Juan
it up.
Juan came in and took over, and now he's like, well, shit, I got to do something if I'm going to
go play somewhere. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, or get money, get paid to go somewhere else. Right. So.
Yeah, and along one other thing, like I thought Malcolm Jenkins played really well last night, too. It just seemed like he was flying around. You know, we were kind of worried. He's
playoff Jenkins.
He's, for the most part, played really well this year. He had a few dicey games, but...
I tell you what, from all account, I didn't see it. I don't have Nickelodeon on Hulu. But from the clips that I saw and the comments that I saw from people, it sounds like it was a home run. It was fantastic. Would you guys agree? Who watched it on Nickelodeon?
Nickelodeon!
I watched some of it, and we said last night it would have been the perfect viewing experience for you.
For me?
For you. Yes. For you specifically.
Yeah. Why?
Because they explained everything for you.
Oh, fuck you.
Yeah, we were talking. Jason's like, yeah, I was watching it. And then they started explaining like every little detail. And I had to turn it off. It's like, oh, that would have been perfect for Jeff.
Oh, okay. Okay. I'd like to see it. I did hear, though, like that it was the was it animated like that on all the live plays, or was it just on the replays?
No, on the live plays.
How do they time that?
Well, I mean, then when they like kick a field goal, they'd have like SpongeBob come up between the goalposts.
Okay.
When you score the touchdown, they had the slime cannons or the swamp jason, as we called it.
Instead of the red zone, I think they called it the slime zone.
The wonders of modern technology.
Yeah, I know, right? We need to figure that out for Ben.
And then they slimed Peyton after the game, which was good.
That was cool. That was cool.
Yeah. He said he wanted to, that if we won, he'd slime.
That's the secret ingredient to make Super Bowl one. We just need our head coach to get slimed.
Now, I did see this is a trend that they're going to kind of continue. So next week, since it's Breeze versus Brady, it's going to be on the History Channel since they're so old.
That was good.
Like, cannon's fine.
Is that an official, an original Civil War cannon? All right. Let's do a quick... do we want to do a quick playoff recap? Because we can't necessarily do it in pick'ems because half the teams won't be there. So let's do a quick NFL reach around. So what happened this weekend? Let's start with in order of the games. What was the first game? Buffalo, Indianapolis.
Yeah. Ended up being a really close game.
Yeah, it did. 27-24, Buffalo won. Kind of surprised that it was that close. The Colts defense came out really, really played well. Josh Allen, though, really looked pretty good.
He was great, but I'll be honest, I think Indy should have won the game. They outgained him in yardage. You know, they missed a field goal. They went for it on fourth at like the 3 and didn't get it. Yeah, they had plenty of opportunities to win the game and failed.
Poor clock management on the last drive as well.
Yep. So, Buffalo will play what?
Cleveland. No. Cleveland goes to Baltimore. Yeah, they get Baltimore.
Baltimore. Okay.
Yeah, Buffalo's playing, yeah.
So the second game,
and that's gonna be on Saturday at 7:15 Central.
Yeah, the second game was Tampa and Washington.
No, Seattle.
Seattle and the Rams.
Seattle Rams. Yeah.
So the Rams won that one 30-20.
Wild, wild game. I mean, what the hell happened to Seattle?
Listening to the talking heads on ESPN, basically they were saying that Seattle spent all this money paying Russell Wilson because they didn't want him to leave, obviously, but they don't have any room for much else, and they haven't really been hitting well on some of their draft picks, at least not the first round picks. I mean, they got like DK Metcalf and stuff like that in the second round, but like their first round picks.
But they started the season on fire.
They did.
Yeah.
And then
the Steelers
fizzles out. Yeah, we're gonna. All right, so the other game was Washington Buccaneers,
Tampa.
23-31.
Yes.
No surprises in that game.
I mean, I'll be honest. With Alex Smith playing, I didn't think Washington could score more than 10 points. You stick in Heineke, and man, they were moving the ball.
Heineke looked
if you'd have told me their offense would have been that good, I'd have said it would have been a real close game. What surprised me was how bad their defense played, because their defense was pretty good. And
yeah,
I mean, they gave up like 500 yards, I think.
They didn't have an answer for Fournette.
They didn't have an answer for anything.
Yeah, the referees, though, also helped Tampa Bay.
Well,
that's classic. But Heineke looked good, man. If he's not on a team next year, at least as a backup, then something's wrong. And that dude was a backup in the XFL. So how, you know, I don't know. I don't know what his deal is, but man, he looks sharp.
Yeah, his rushing touchdown was one of my favorite plays of the weekend, where he literally dived from the 6-yard line.
Looking like a Reggie Bush over there.
Yeah. He made himself some money yesterday, I would think.
Yeah, I can tell you, you know, I listened to that DC show. They're all going gaga over Heineke, and they're like, he has to come back.
I mean, you got to think that Alex Smith, I would think, maybe done. Like, maybe he just wanted to come back this year to show that he could make it back. But I would have to think that he's probably going to maybe either retire or the Washington might move on from him.
It did kind of – it feels like that might be the case.
Well, I think they had to keep – I think his contract made it so that they kind of had to keep him around this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because they gave him an extension like 2 years ago, I think. And then, you know, he had the freak injury.
You know, you draft Haskins and you figure, well, that's our future. But, you know, now that's a bust, so.
Yeah. All right, the Sunday's game started with the Ravens-Titans. I think we...
20-13, Baltimore won.
I was surprised at how well Tennessee's defense played. I just did not... I mean, granted, I haven't watched Tennessee a lot, but everything people said was like, yeah, Tennessee's defense stinks, so I just assumed they'd score more. But
I mean, Lamar Jackson basically won that game. And
kept Henry quiet all game.
That's yeah, that was the real... What do you have, like 40-something yards?
Yeah.
That was their game plan. Make what's his name beat you? Tannehill?
Tannehill. But Tannehill's been good.
Yeah. But I mean, that's wouldn't you if you had to play Tennessee, your number one mission is to stop Derrick Henry.
Well, sure, yeah. But I'm sure teams tried to do that the whole season and he ran for 2,000 yards anyway.
Yeah, matchups. I don't know. But you're right, Lamar Jackson just stole that show.
And he had a 50-yard touchdown
run. Really. Speaking of a great touchdown run.
That was nice.
Yeah.
All right, next game are the Bears-Saints, which we know we talked about that one. So the last game of the night was the Steelers and the Browns. And the Browns went up 28-0 in the first quarter. Ended up winning the game 48-37. So the Steelers almost came back. But I don't think anybody saw this coming except maybe Gerald Bouty, who picked them.
I picked them.
You picked them to cover.
I picked them to win, damn it.
We'll never know.
I mean, I think only the Cleveland football players are the ones that even – they probably didn't even see it.
But that's crazy, though. Like, they started 12-0, and that's how their season ended.
So, apparently, Pittsburgh fans were calling for Tomlin to be fired.
Yeah, that's just stupid.
They were breaking TVs and going all apeshit. It wasn't a great night to be a Steelers fan.
I mean, I'm not going to say I'm upset about that.
Oh, it's funny as hell.
I wish it was Eagles fans.
Wish it was Falcons fans.
Well, all the time. It is, actually, every year.
They probably did that in Super Bowl 51.
I heard 28 TVs were broken and 3 radios.
And speaking of Eagles fans, fired their head coach today.
That's right.
Getting back to Pittsburgh real quick, you know, what does Roethlisberger do? Does he come back?
I have to think he does.
I don't think he looked like he was in any... Like, he didn't look old this year. He didn't look hurt this year. This was probably his healthiest year he's had in a long time. He didn't miss any time, did he?
No. He's not gonna...
And he's younger than Drew and Tom Brady.
I mean, I think he's
not gonna let that be his last game.
38?
Yeah, he's got plenty of time.
He's not gonna let that be his last game.
All right.
Not to Cleveland. All right, let's get into Pick'ems.
Time to play the game. Now you play it.
Gotta take the control. We make it. I will deliver the pain. You can't take it.
You guys maybe shouldn't have said that. I mean, this was maybe the worst week of the season for the Dome Patrol in terms of Pick'ems.
For everyone.
For everyone except Ben and myself, both went 3-2.
Yep.
And ben then, doesn't count. He's not on the street.
Yeah, I was. We all picked Buffalo. We all lost that one. I was the only one to take Cleveland. You
know? Gerald Bouty was the only person to take in the entire Pick'ems to take Indianapolis.
Wow, smart man. So Jeff, Scott, and James all went 1-4. But that wasn't the worst. Ash went 0-5.
I'm gaining.
Just like that, he pulls us all back in.
Right. So because of Ash and my shitty performance, we have completely lost control of the lead. It is now held by JTL with a 5-53 record. He's 47-38. Followed by Tom Ensign, then Ash, then Carp, then Jason and me are tied. 47-42. James, you are close behind. Not close. You're behind at 43-41 with Trevor Bruno, followed by Scott. Oh, Scott, you're 43-46. So James, you must have missed a week.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
He
so did. Scott, you are the first under 500. So you're the leader of the losers. followed by Mordecai, Big Easy Guy, John, Davis Douglas, Ben, and then Neil. And I like Neil's new hashtag, something like Better Than Ben hashtag. He put a hash brown on it. Sans Hobbs, Gerald Booty, Christian Mino, Chris McGuire, and then the rest. Jason?
All right, we have our divisional round. It's going to be slightly disappointing to not only have four games compared to six last weekend, which was really great. But we'll get started. The first game on Saturday is the NFC battle. The Rams coming off that win in Seattle. It looks like what's his name? Wolford got a stinger, so it looks like it's probably going to be Goff again with his jammed up thumb. So they travel to Green Bay to play the one-seed Packers, coming off that bye, looking really good. I know Aaron Donald got dinged up this week, but the coach said it shouldn't affect his game status. Same thing with Cooper Kupp. He had a little bursitis in his knee, so hopefully he comes back because, you know, obviously I guess we're pulling for the Rams, even though that's the kind of defense they could wreck us.
Wreck them.
Game, the Packers are favored by 7.
Packers by 7.
I'm honestly surprised it's not more.
Aaron Donald could hardly breathe on the sideline. He's broken a rib.
And Goff's thumb is fucked.
Give me the pass.
You could tell when Goff was throwing the ball, like you could just see it coming off his hand, the way it was. All the balls were tailing down big time. Yeah. I'm going to go Green Bay as well.
Yeah, Green Bay.
I agree, even though I hope the Rams win the game. This will be a pick'ems I'm happy to lose.
Give me the Rams, baby. Defense
wins. Nice.
Alright.
Our next game. Saturday night game. This is going to be a fun game. The Ravens, coming off that nice win this week. They travel to Buffalo. You know, two of the better teams this year. Two of the better quarterbacks, both running quarterbacks. Allen not as much as Lamar, but this should be a really fun game. Should be more people in the crowd. And the Bills they're only favored by 2.5.
Kind of like a pick'em here.
Yeah, give me the Ravens on that.
Ooh, look at that.
What did he say?
He said the Ravens. I'm going to take the Bills. I think there was a lot of pressure on the Bills last week, you know, not having a playoff win in so long. Now that they got that out of the way, I think they kind of settled down a little bit.
Yeah, I'm going to take Buffalo too. It's kind of funny if you notice the AFC, the teams left are all these young running quarterbacks, and with the exception of Goff, all the NFC teams are old quarterbacks. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah, I'm going to take Buffalo because I want to create separation from Ash, but also I think Buffalo wins this game outright by 3 or more.
The Ravens really impressed me at the weekend. Buffalo didn't impress me. Give me Baltimore.
Wow.
All right, now moving on to Sunday. First game, the Cleveland Browns coming up there, stunning win. They travel to Kansas City. I don't know if Edwards-Helaire is going to play or not. I can't imagine. But they're favored by 10.
Oh!
Give me the Browns. 10 points. The Browns have got an offense that can keep Kansas offense off the field. They can run the ball. Give me the Browns at 10 points.
I'm kind of with Ben on that. That's a lot of points to be giving up.
Ben?
That's racist.
I would never call James Ben.
Never.
All right. Ash, who are you taking?
Take Kansas City.
Yeah, give me the Browns.
Dang it.
I'm sorry, James. I love you.
Sorry. That's probably the worst insult ever.
All right. Oh, man. I tell you, James, you kind of convinced me with the whole 10 points in a playoff game. But I think this is one where, A, Kansas City's coming off a bye. They're rested. This is their specialty. Cleveland, it's one of those, I think, like, that was their Super Bowl last week. They didn't have their coach. it was Pittsburgh the week after. I think that Cleveland's going to kind of almost like a, that trap game mentality where they're going to have a hard time showing up. So I am going to actually take the risk and go with Kansas City.
Like it.
Yeah, the Browns have literally got nothing to lose. They've got nothing to lose.
Neither do I in Pick'ems.
But, you know, Andy Reid's teams usually play incredibly well coming off a bye, especially with the Chiefs. But
10 points.
This is tough. Because, I mean, I could easily, you know, it's as much as I do like Cleveland in their running game, I mean, you could really see Kansas City win, like, 40 to 20 and just, like, you know, actually put it together for a change. Eh, give me the Browns. Why not? I'll ride them again. Jeff, the only one with defending Super Bowl champions. All right, and now, of course, we move on to the last game of the weekend.
10 points is just,
yeah,
just too big.
It is a lot.
I would never put money on that.
Final game, the Sunday evening time slot, primetime viewership, two legends. Tampa and Nolans. I don't know. I'm not there. My brain's not firing properly. But the Saints are favored by 3.
Ooh.
I mean, I know what we're all taking, so I just...
Yeah, I'm taking Saints.
Yeah, I'm picking the Saints.
Everybody's taking Nolans?
Yeah, give it the Saints.
So to recap, Rams at Green Bay, Packers favored by 7. Baltimore at Buffalo, Buffalo favored by 2.5. Cleveland at Kansas City, Chiefs favored by 10. And then Tampa at New Orleans, Saints favored by 3. This is the first time in a long time that every home team has been favored.
All right. There's your picks. We're going to get them in before the first kickoff of the weekend, which is Saturday. So we got a short week, everybody. Now, the next segment is one where we talk about this the upcoming Saints game, which is Saints preview. And this one is the third matchup, as I said at the top of the show. And if you didn't know that, then you're clearly not a real Saints fan. The third matchup between the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Drew Orleans Saints. The Drolins.
Drolin'.
A lot of people make, you know, this big thing about the whole, like, it's hard to beat a team 3 times. But I think I saw a stat, if I'm not mistaken, that the team that won the first two wins the third in the playoffs 65% of the time. And I think actually the Saints are the ones who actually made that a higher percentage last time when we did it against Carolina.
65% of the time, it works all the time.
So, you have no concerns about Tampa's defense, right?
No.
I mean,
I'm into this game more confident than I was against the Browns, against the Bears, because we beat them twice already, and we're going to sweep them for a third time.
Yeah, I mean, they are getting Devin White back. But, you know, I mean, their defense doesn't scare you like the Rams' defense or like even like the Bears' defense. I knew the Bears' defense was going to be tough. I mean, Tampa did already lose Vita Vea for the year, their big defensive tackle.
Are they losing?
They just lost Minner. He's going.
Minner, yep.
Going to the COVID list.
Now, what are the odds of him, his COVID affecting other members of the team to where they lose more?
It'd be nice.
It's possible.
He started the game on Saturday.
So you have to think.
You know, if there's any Saints fans in Tampa Bay, just go around and start licking all the doorknobs and all the, you know, the car handles and all that. Even if you haven't got COVID, just go in and just spit on everything.
Spit
on
everything.
You know what I mean?
I mean, it's a tactic. It's a strategy.
About 3 seconds. So when he shoves it up his ass with a gazelle, then, you know, you'll get COVID.
Whatever it takes.
He did look like a woman with plastic surgery in that video he posted on Twitter last night, didn't it? Didn't he?
Yeah.
Like, genuinely and legitimate. I really honestly think that Tom Brady has had facial reconstruction surgery. Probably at, like, Giselle and his marketing and his PR people probably have done that too. I mean, he's clearly had work done.
He's clearly on steroids.
Oh, dude. Scott, you posted the picture of him and Blanda. Well, it was on the TV during the Washington Tampa Bay game. Yeah. They showed a picture of him and Blanda side by side at the same age. I mean, Tom Brady looked 20 years younger. That's what HGH will do for you.
I mean, it's kind of the time period, too. I mean, Blanda looked like he was in his 60s.
He was probably smoking cigarettes on the sideline.
Right, yeah. At halftime. But even the picture, you know, on ESPN, the picture of Breeze and Brady from the last game, I mean, Breeze looks like a 42-year-old guy. Tom Brady looks about 30. Yeah.
Well, he's probably got – his PR agency supplied his photo to the networks. You know, they've got it all photoshopped, and, like, Breeze is just like, eh, selfie, here you go.
Yeah. The only, you know, the thing that only worries me, they did throw to Brady a lot and Gronk in this past playoff game. So we just need to make sure that, you know, we've had issues with covering tight ends. Not so much as of late, I would say, but earlier in the year, I know we did. So we just need to keep on that trend of making sure we're doing that. And, you know, Antonio Brown's kind of come on lately. He's been doing well. I mean, we know Lattimore's going to see
CD Deuce is going to have Antonio Brown out of this game within the first quarter.
That's quite like, awesome. Antonio Brown might pull a gun on CD during the game.
This is the easiest ejection that CD Deuce is ever going to get.
I'm just happy for Lattimore that he gets to see his son again, you know, for a little while.
A third time. Rare.
Visitation right.
I'm happy about that, but and if we can get CD Deuce to, you know, what could he say? What could he say to Antonio Brown to incite something?
Yeah, hopefully getting Hendrickson back this week.
Yeah, that would be big.
You know, that's the one thing that Tampa did this past week with Brady had all day to throw. He just stood back there. You know, all we got to do is get him a little rattled, and that's what we saw in the Sunday night game earlier this season. Let's get him a little rattled. He's going to be inaccurate. That's like every quarterback.
And Sean, if you look at the last, what, five, six times that Sean Payton has coached against a Tom Brady team with dating back to New England, I mean, they got the better of us maybe once or twice, I think twice. But all the other times, I mean, the key to beating was rattling Tom Brady. I mean, Jason, you're right. I mean, you've just, and anybody, everybody knows that. It's a thing to be able to do it. And this, if this goes back to where our defense, I said it earlier in the show, our defense is the key to winning this game. It's not about our offense. This is where we said all along for the last several years, Saints need a top 10, top 11, 12 defense. We've got that even better to go all the way and win the championship. And this is why, so that you can beat the Tom Brady's. And ultimately you're going to have something like that against Aaron Rodgers too. But the good thing is you don't have as big a risk of Tom Brady running away. So you can really, and then when Tom Brady gets rattled and upset and mad, then he starts making big mistakes.
Yeah, he was yelling at his tight end the game the other day because he was like, I think Brady was scrambling and his tight end was kind of just, he wasn't breaking off of his route to, he was kind of just jogging around. He wasn't breaking off his route to help Brady out. And Brady was like livid, just screaming at me. I was like, is that Bobby Aper out there?
Roy Raging.
Yeah, Roid Rage for sure.
and I also don't. And look, they, you know, they ran the ball well with Fournette against Washington. That's something I don't see happening against the Saints' run defense, especially not with Anzalone back in there now.
Yeah, it's funny because I was watching the ESPN and they were like, "Well, they ran 30 times, you know, in the playoff game with Fournette and their other running back. They only ran." That much in two games against the Saints. So I think if they run the ball more, I'm like, dude, they didn't run the ball because they couldn't run the ball. Like, if you do it so many times and we stop it, they're not going to be able to do it. And he's like, well, I think they need to just keep – it was Rex Ryan. I think they just need, you know, if they're not successful at first, they need to just keep doing it. Well, if we're scoring points and you're down by 14, 21 points, you can't keep running the ball. And that's a big part of it. We got to get ahead early and get a jump start on them to make them one-dimensional. If we make them one-dimensional, our defensive line is going to wreak havoc.
Pin your ears back,
he will not be able to do anything.
I did see a stat about Tampa is actually second in the league in getting pressure. So going back to like their defense against our offense, that they're second in the league in pressuring the quarterbacks. However, the way that they do it is that blitzes. It's not necessarily their front four or three or four. It's the fact that they bring everybody. About, I think they said like 65% of their defensive play calls this whole season were blitzes.
And if you do that versus Drew, he's going to pick you apart. He'll see it coming, and he will pick you apart.
Yeah, just let's not put Taysom in that situation.
If they play the same defense they played against us when we beat them on Sunday Night Football in Tampa, Breeze is going to have a field day.
Oh yeah,
the Saints had receivers open all over the field when they played them earlier on this season. So Tampa are going to have to make adjustments to try and stop that. But you know, Tony Romo was making the point yesterday. Breeze is one of the best at getting to the line, seeing what's going on, and knowing where the hole is going to be, and just.
All right, score predictions.
All right. 45.
30-23.
Oof. Wow.
30-23 Saints.
I was
going to
say 45-17
Saints. I'm going to tell you what. This defense has held a lot of teams to not even a touchdown or one touchdown per game. I could see Tampa maybe getting two on us. So 17, yeah, that seems about fair. 17. Saints, let's give us 30 points.
I'm going to go 35-17 Saints.
Man, that's... I was going to go 31-17, but I'm going to change. I'm going to go 31-13. I say we only give up one touchdown.
All right. It won't be Mike Evans, though.
Oh, hell no.
Yeah, what's the over-under on Evans' catches? One? And it's the one time where they don't have Lattimore covering him.
One time where you don't want to take the over on this one.
Right. Yeah, find out more on Billy Gunn's taking the over.
Which I will be on Wednesday.
Oh, that's right. So he's scraping the bottom of the barrel of the guest list.
Yeah, save the best for last.
All right, final thoughts, anybody?
Glad we got the win. Who dat? Let's keep it going. Just looking forward to the game. Hopefully we'll pull it out and we'll be in a good mood for the instant reaction on Sunday evening.
Yeah, just enjoy the week. Enjoy your team still being alive in the playoffs and you actually get to enjoy the NFL and not be pissed off. And let's keep going, man. Let's do like this is it.
Okay.
Go ahead, Ash.
For the third time, sweep the motherfuckers. We're going to knock Brady out. We're going to knock the Bucks back and put them in their place where they should be all the time. The game is at 20 to midnight here in the UK, so I'm hoping I can get the day off. So, who dat? Let's beat the fucking yucks, and we're going to go to Green Bay, and we're going to smash them fucking cheesehead fucking cousin fuckers of Wisconsin.
James, anything?
I'm not sure I can follow that. What he said.
That's the only reason why Green Bay hasn't come to the UK because they're not allowed to fuck their first cousins. It's against the law.
Just sheeps and goats.
I had something I was gonna say, but I've lost it.
Did they have that problem recently?
Not surprised.
Yes, we do have.
You'll see my point.
All right, that's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol Podcast United Network, where you only have to subscribe to one feed to receive multiple podcasts, including the 2-Point Conversion Instant Reaction Show, the Dome Patrol Podcast, the BS and Beer Saints Podcast, the Pelican Plunge, Taking the Over with Billy Gunn, and what was published yesterday morning, the Premier League Podcast. I guess soccer's starting back up.
No, it's been going on the whole time. It was just the first time me and Ben.
If only there could be some games on Nickelodeon.
That's right. That's what we need. I need soccer games on Nickelodeon, and basketball, Pelicans. All right, follow the Dome Patrol Podcast on Twitter at Dome Patrol US and Dome Patrol UK. Follow the BS and Beer Saints Podcast at BS and Beer Media. Follow Taking the Over at Taking the Over. And follow us on Facebook to watch these live streams. Just search for Dome Patrol Podcast when you get to the Facebook. And then there's the old-fashioned way of listening to our show. If you can't find us on your podcast app, or if you're old, go to DomePatrolPodcast.com. Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, Nolan's donkeys.
Good night, Who Dat Nation.
Oh, when the saints go marching in, well, when the saints go marching in, I gotta be in that number. When the saints go marching in.